My dear friends, there are so many riches in the readings of today that we are at risk of missing the central point. We could starve in the midst of a banquet. And it is my advice that we draw our attention to each reading, trying to pick up some central advice, central precept or recommendation from each one of them. It is a good exercise in any case. For example, I would say that the first reading has this central message: come back to the Lord. Come back to me with all your heart. That's what the Lord says. Come back to me. Let's bear in mind that expression. Please keep record of it. And now we move to the second reading, without forgetting the first one. What would be the central message in this second reading? It comes from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And we could pick up this sentence: be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. What about the gospel? In the gospel, it is not so obvious, I would say. The Lord is giving us so many recommendations. Well, about giving alms, about fasting, about praying. But if we are looking for a central expression, for a central message, I would say, don't be in two minds. Be sincere. Be honest. Keep just one mind. And probably we could get more from these readings if we try to link these three central commandments, these three central advices. First, come back to the Lord. Come back to me, says the Lord. What do we need to go back to the Lord? First and foremost, we have to recognize that we are not so close to Him. We are invited to move forward, or in some respect, to move back, because the purpose is to go back to the Lord. So, what do we need to put ourselves in movement? What is required to move ourselves? Two things: to recognize that we are far away, that there is some distance from the point we are at and the point the Lord is and reigns. To recognize that distance, that's the first part. And secondly, to recognize that it's good for us to move ourselves forward in that direction, heading to the house of the Lord, heading to the mountain of the Lord, heading to His holy temple, to the place of His glory. And that is what the Lenten season is all about. It's all about recognizing that we are far away from the Lord. No matter how good, how holy we think of ourselves, we are far away from the Lord. And I would dare to say, it is precisely saint people who are more prone to recognize that they need the Lord And they, the saints, are prone to recognize that they are far from the Lord. And the reason is that when you are truly loving someone, you cannot tolerate any distance. Love is power to unite people. Love is all about uniting people, uniting lovers. And if love has some power, is power to unite, is power to move towards each other. Since all the language of love is a language of embracing, giving hugs, receiving, and even kissing, caressing. That's part of the expression of love in common human lives. That is why the saints cannot tolerate any distance from their hearts and God's heart, because they would wish to be already united, melted with the power of God's love, with the power of God's heart. To recognize that we are far away is, therefore, a process in which we recognize that we are sinners, and that is a distance, a huge distance that exists between ourselves and God. But secondly, it's also recognizing that out of love, we need Him, and we cannot tolerate any distance from ourselves and Him. From ourselves to Him, I mean. But to move our heavy, sticky lives, we need to recognize also that there is a good to be achieved. And that is part of this Lenten season, to open the treasures that are inside God's covenant, that exist inside God's love, God's plan. In that place where the Lord dwells, in that place every good is present, every evil is absent. The more we are aware of this truth, the more we experience a force, a big force, moving us towards God. All this and much more is included in the short expression, "Come back to me, says the Lord." But the main obstacle we learn, the main obstacle is sin. Saint Paul says in the second reading, be reconciled to God. The Lenten season is a beautiful time for seeking reconciliation. Now, reconciliation also entails the idea of some distance, but not any distance requires reconciliation. If I am moving from Dublin to Rome, for example, it is not implicit that I have some problem with Romans, with people in Rome. Why do we need the word reconciliation during this Lenten season that is just beginning? Why do we need that concept and that flag waving clearly before our eyes. Reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. Reconciliation is not only distance. It entails the idea of some fight. We diverge from God. We have taken part from Him. We step aside at some point. When we recognize, when we acknowledge that some reconciliation is needed, we also acknowledge that some wounds exist in our past. Our relationship with God has been hurt. We are acknowledging that something wrong and painful has happened between God and us. This is not so obvious. Most people think that they have a very good relationship with God. Other people would say, I have no problem with God. And they speak as if God were in His house and they dwell in their own house. And they have no conflict because they never see each other and they are no longer interested in seeing God, in encountering God. Reconciliation. It is difficult to find the point, to see the point that Saint Paul is making here. Reconciliation means that we were called to have the best possible relationship with God. But that relationship is so fragile. Is so delicate, and it can be hurt, and it was hurt. We are recognizing, we are quite aware that the most important relationship, most important of all, has been broken and has been badly broken. When we recognize that, we are putting ourselves in the way of reconciliation. Against you have I sinned. Those are the words of King David, recognizing that he has a broken relationship with God. I mean, when the apostle says, be reconciled to God, he's truly saying two things at a time. He's saying, first, you should have, and you could have, a beautiful, fruitful, marvelous, nourishing relationship with God. That's the first part. And probably, you had one. You had one of that kind. That's the first point, to realize that we could have and should have and probably actually had a good relationship with God. That's the first point. And the second point is that relationship has been broken, at least has been broken up to a certain point. Therefore, we are called to mend fences. We are called to reconcile ourselves to God. To understand that we could have and should have the best relationship with God is to understand that God has done everything He could and He is almighty. He has done everything to have the best relationship with us. And everything means that he has offered in every possible way his friendship, his protection, his covenant, his helping hand. So, we understand that in rejecting that helping hand, in rejecting that covenant, in rejecting that friendship, we are denying the best possible offer we could receive. We are truly secluding ourselves in the domain of death. That is exactly the true face of sin. We are rejecting, we have rejected God. And please, do not look for a different name. That is exactly what we have done. Rejected. We have rejected God. We have rejected his friendship. And the only loser when we reject God is you and I, each one of us. Be reconciled to God means, therefore, do accept his friendship. Do accept his helping hand. Stop rejecting everything God proposes to you. Stop rejecting that, because that is the best possible offering you could get, no matter what. And this is the time for doing that. I love so much that expression from St. Paul. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. This is the time. Do accept God's friendship. Of course, in order to accept his friendship, we are called to be sincere, to be honest. Don't be in two minds. Keep your heart whole. Keep your heart entire and whole. Offer your heart complete, whole, as it is, as it was created. God has not given you two hearts. You have just one. Do surrender your heart to the Lord. It was created whole. Therefore, surrender it whole. This is the time to recover the unity, the internal unity of your heart. This is the time we can realize and we must realize that sin is not only a division between God and us. It is also an internal division, because you cannot command indefinitely. You cannot command endlessly to your conscience to be silent. At the bottom of your own heart, at the bottom of your soul, you know, you truly know that sin is bad for you, that sin is destroying you, that sin is preventing you from true happiness. It is not only that some external law, some external preaching tells you what you should do. It is you yourself. It is in the deepest part of your heart that you recognize that every single sin is destroying a true possibility of happiness in your life. Stop that internal division. If you want to recover the integrity of your heart, please do surrender your heart, your whole heart, completely completely to the Lord. That is your true vocation. That is the true way out. That is your best choice. And that is also why the Lord in the gospel insists, don't do what the hypocrites do. And the reason is, they have two faces, they have two hearts, they are using two different frameworks of thought. They try to use two different criteria. One, when they are being seen by others, a different one when they are by their own. It won't work. That is what the Lord is saying. It won't work. It doesn't work for the hypocrites. It won't work for you. Recover the integrity of your own heart. Be reconciled to God. Go back to God, your Creator, your Lord, your loving Savior. Amen.